Well, good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? Good. So let's pray real quick to get started. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for this special day that you've set before us. A holy day, a day that's set apart, Father. You knew the day that Garrison and Hannah were born, that they were going to be baptized on this day. And I believe that your presence is here with us, Father. You always fulfill your promise that when two or more are gathered in your name, you're here. And that we believe that the Holy Spirit is here and that he's going to fill these young people as they come up out of this water. I pray that you bless the message, Father, and bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last week, we covered knowing the Scripture. That was the title of the sermon, was Knowing the Scripture. It was the first point in a four-point series on walking with God. A couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, I preached a sermon on walking with God. And I said that God's desire for us is to walk with Him every day. God's desire is for us to walk with Him every day. He doesn't want to just meet you on Sunday. He doesn't want to just meet you on a Wednesday night Bible study. And He doesn't want to just talk to you and walk with you when you're in trouble. Typically that's what I used to do all the time. I would pray finally when my life was in shambles. But how many of you know God wants to walk with you every single day? He wants to be a part of everything of your life. He lives in you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He lives in you? If you really believe that, then you know His great desire to want to be with you all the time, in every aspect and every circumstance of your life. And so, in order to walk with God, there's some things that need to be done. One, you need to know the Scriptures, and that's what we talked about last week. My 4 points, helpful biblical hints on walking with God, are going to be know the Scriptures, pray, love people, and be filled with the Spirit. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. The last one ties everything together. How many of you know you really can't know the Scriptures? You really can't pray correctly, and you can't love people unless you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it. You believe that? You need to know that. That should be in your foundation. It should make you question, am I being indwelled by the Holy Spirit? Because it's a necessity to do all the things that you need to do in walking with God. And here's the great news. He freely gives you. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you Himself. The Holy Spirit, the Scripture says, is the mind of God. He's the counselor of truth. He helps you discern everything. Discern all things of God. 2 Corinthians says that it is the mind of God. It says, who else knows the mind of a man but the man's spirit within him? And he says, in the same way, the mind of God is the Spirit of God. And that Spirit has been given to the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead now lives in you, in me. The implications of that are off the charts. You have no idea. We have no idea what that really means. Wyatt and I were talking yesterday, my son Wyatt and I were talking yesterday about the people of old, the great men of God in the Old Testament and all the things that they did. David, mighty men, Joshua and all these guys. And all the things they did for God. You know, the Scripture says that David killed 800 men in one day, or one of his mighty men did. Joshua had these great victories in battle. But Jesus said, even the least in the kingdom is greater than those guys. We're on the other side of the covenant. Wyatt said he believed, he said, I used to always think when I go to heaven, I want to talk to Paul, or I want to talk to David, or really David and Joshua and the guys from the Old Testament, and ask them, how it was to do all these miraculous things. And he said, but I got a feeling they're going to respond to me and they're going to say, how was it to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because they didn't have that. Not the way we had it. Not under the new covenant with Jesus. We have something so special in this new covenant with our God. So we want to walk with Him. In recapping last week, we read 2 Timothy 3:16. Talking about knowing the Scripture. And it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And then it goes on to say, so that the people of God can be equipped for every good work. Every good work. All scripture is God-breathed. This book you have in your hand or on your phone or wherever you got it laying around your house was written by your Creator. It is literally the blueprint of life for your life in particular. It's the will of God. People struggle all the time. I hear it literally every week. It seems like, I don't know what the will of God is for me in my life. This is the will of God for you in your life. If you don't know it, it's probably because you're not reading this. This book has so much power, has so much effect. It can have so much effect on your life for generations. How much time do you spend in this book? How much time do you devote to learning this word, to getting it in you, to let it permeate everything of your life? How much time are you devoting to that? How much time do I tell you, one of my favorite things about preaching is it forces me to get in this book. And it changed me since I've been doing this. It has changed me. I've learned so much about God. I've walked with God for 25 years before I took the pulpit here. And I'm going to tell you, I feel like I'm a brand new Christian now. I start reading and learning, and there's a difference when you learn and then you give it away. It's just totally different. Are you doing that? Listen, not only should you read the Word, but then you got to give it away, and then it becomes yours. It really becomes yours whenever you get it inside of you and you can give it to somebody else. Read the Word. Know the Scriptures if you want to walk with God. All Scripture is God-breathed, given to us by our Savior. And it is absolutely necessary for your everyday life. Since I've been doing this so much lately, I can't imagine even going a day anymore without reading the Word and getting it in me. David says in Psalms 119, I don't know if I gave you that one or not, but it says that the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God illuminates everything in your life. You don't even know how dark your life is without the Word of God. Do you know that? The Scripture says that. It says they don't even know what they're stumbling over. They're walking around in darkness. You don't even know what you're stumbling over when you're not reading the words. And if you just take a week off from it, I'm telling you, you will start stumbling around, not knowing which way to go. Because it is our life. It's God's intent for us to walk in His Word and know His Word. Another point we made last week was that Jesus Christ is the Word. We came out of John 1. Put it up there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus was the Word wrapped in flesh. Verse 14 says, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made, and nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. There you go. You got 14? The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ is the Word, wrapped in flesh. I always see that in the picture of my mind. Literal words that God took flesh and put them around. And He moved into our neighborhood and lived with us and taught us how to live. But Jesus is the Word. He's the bread of life. In the mystery of the gospel, in some way, in some capacity, as we read this, we are ingesting Jesus Christ into our lives. Jesus said, man cannot live off of bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He is the Word. How important is it to know the Scripture? Jesus is the Word. He is the bread of life. We also covered Hebrews 4. It talks about the Word being alive and active. It says, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit,
joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account.
What a powerful scripture. Just leave that up there if you would, Hayes. Just read over that for a second. How powerful is the Word of God? It's alive and active. It's always moving inside of us. And it's moving inside of the earth and the world all the time. The Word was what was used to speak the earth into existence. But not just the earth, the cosmos. God said, let there be light, and it came. It was the Word that did this. And it is sharp, and it is alive. I said last week, I said, how many times have you read a scripture at one point in your life, and then in another point of your life, you read the same scripture and meant something totally different? That's because it's alive and it's active. The Word can mean different things to us at different points in our life, depending on what we're going through. And it can mean something different for you than it does for me in the moment. It's alive and it's active. The Word of God says that my Word goes out and it never returns to me void. You know what that means? That means it always hits the mark. And it always gets the job done. That's why when I'm saying give words to these young people as they come out of the baptismal, you never know. That Word might sit dormant in them for many, many years. And then one day, come alive. And they become changed because of it. It is alive and moving. And it has different meanings at different points in your life. And it always hits its mark. It doesn't just sit idle when you read it. It works around in you. It finds the things inside of you that need to be dealt with. You might read a scripture in the morning and not feel a whole lot, but later on, the Spirit, the Word, is working in your spirit, working and working until it works out the infection or the issues that you're having in your life. It cleans you out. How important is it to know the scriptures? To let them heal you. How many of you know that there's wounds in our lives that no counsel, no human wisdom will ever be able to touch? You've experienced this. I know you have. If you've lived long enough, you have been hurt in areas that you know that there's no man or woman that is going to be able to help you with it. But the Word of God penetrates. Sharp. It cuts and goes in and finds things that only it can find. It heals things only it can heal. God has reserved those things in your life for Himself. You understand that? He doesn't want anybody else to heal you. He wants to be the one to come and heal you. How powerful is the Word? Sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts, it divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart, not our mind, our heart, before it even gets to your mind. The Word of God is judging you. Have you ever read the Word? I said this last week, I asked you, and it judged you. And if you have, congratulations, that's a wonderful thing to have. We hear all the time in our culture, don't judge me, I don't want to be judged. Let me tell you something. It's good to be judged by a righteous side. That's a wonderful thing, to be judged correctly by a righteous God. You want to be judged. What is the alternative? That you just stay in your deception? Let the Word of God judge you. I'm going to touch on prayer here in just a second, our second point. But I thought it was funny because this last week, studying for today, I read, I'm going to do a summary, or a quick cover of prayer. And as I was reading, the scripture's all about prayer, the Word of God judged me. And it told me, you don't know a lot about prayer. And I don't. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but I realized as I was studying for prayer, the Word of God, as I was reading it, it convicted me that my prayer life has not matured hardly at all since the day I was saved. I want you to think about that in your own life. I'm being vulnerable here, being honest.
My prayer life has not progressed and matured like other things have in my walk with God. And it's primarily because of a lack of knowledge. I just didn't understand exactly what prayer was for and what how powerful it is. But I'm learning. And we're going to walk through it together. I'm not going to preach a whole sermon on prayer. I'll reserve that for the next time I preach. But it judged me. I'm glad it did. I'm glad it did. I got excited. I got excited reading about prayer again. And started thinking, I've never really dove into prayer. Have y'all ever done research on prayer? Like why we pray? Here's a question. God knows everything we're going to pray before we pray. Why do we pray? We're going to go over some of those things. I want to whet your appetite a little bit. Why do you pray? The Word of God penetrates, goes into places nothing else can do. It is your only hope in some of these. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are the two things that can plumb the depths of the human soul that no man, no woman, no wise counseling, no 100 years of experience of dealing with people will ever be able to touch. And I said it again earlier, I'll say it again. And God did that on purpose because He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to come to Him. If you're in this congregation right now and you're hurting from something in your past, I want to tell you today that God is willing and ready to heal you. But you have to let the Word be in you, and you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it will come in and do its work like only it can. There is a way out, and you can be healed. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. The Word judges you, gives you identity. When you become a Christian, you lose the right to tell yourself who you are anymore. What tells you who you are when you become a Christian? God, the Word. The Word tells you who you are. As you read this, it begins to tell you who you are. You think you know who you are, but God tells you who you are. Your Creator tells you who you are, and these are His words right here. Allow Him to tell you who you are. And be rooted. Have identity in me. The Word of God told me who I was, and it was a lot different than what I thought I was. And honestly, I was shocked. I was shocked. I thought I was doing good. I was walking through life thinking I was great. And it judged me and told me who I was. Let's see here. In order to walk with God, we must know the Scriptures. We must get them in us. We must take that seriously and treat it as though it is the Word of God. I said last week, I said the other day, I was got up in the morning and I was getting ready to read, and this YouTube video came up on my phone, and I spent an hour watching YouTube and wasted the whole time. And as I was studying about the Word of God and all the things I'm telling you, I was just, what am I doing? What am I doing? Can we set aside the time and see it as being the Word of God? And that it is so necessary. It's more, Jesus said it was more than food. Literally more than food. Not symbolically. Literally more than food. It makes me think about how much we're missing every day. All right, moving on real quick to the second point of the four-point series. The second one is prayer. I'm going to cover a quick couple of notes, and then we're going to get to the baptism. Y'all still with me? All right. The second one is prayer. Like I said, I've kind of gotten ahead of myself, but I learned as I was reading and researching this that I don't know a lot about prayer, and that I want to. I want to learn more about prayer. How many of you know Jesus prayed? He prayed in all situations. And He prayed with the disciples, and then He'd go off by Himself to pray. He was always praying, always communicating with God. Just the thought, it's like the Word, that we have the opportunity to
commune with our God, with your Creator. It's mind-blowing. Let it be mind-blowing. Think about it. You get to talk to God.
And He's always available. He's always ready and willing to speak to you
and to talk to you anytime you want. You can go before Him at any time. One of my scriptures here is Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14, yeah. No, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Okay. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our need.
We can approach the throne of God boldly because of the blood of Jesus Christ still for us.
The reason that you can talk to God at any given moment, that you can pray to God at any given moment, is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and there's nothing separating us from Him any longer.
So at any given time, we have this great opportunity that we can pray to our God. We can talk to our God.
Anytime. It doesn't have to be some special moment. What a great gift. Jesus has given us so many gifts. God the Father has given us so many gifts. And prayer is one of the top ones. And we're gonna experience it together in the next few weeks. We're gonna talk more about this. I like to talk about God's original intentions in the last few weeks. I've been talking about God's original intentions with mankind. And in order to do that, you've got to go back to Adam and Eve. Remember last week we were talking about this.
When I was researching prayer, I was trying to figure out when did prayer start? And how did it start?
And so I started reading Genesis and trying to figure out. And how many of you know Adam and Eve never prayed? There's no record of them ever praying. Why didn't they have to pray? Because they walked with it.
There was no mirror. There was nothing they saw in the face of God.
We talked about this just the last couple of weeks, that He walked in the cool of the garden with them. He set the animals before Adam and let Him name them all. There was just joy and peace and rest between them. There was no hindrance. They didn't have to pray to what they saw as a far-off God. He was there with them. And then sin came into the world and marred everything. And so I thought that that was going to be the end of it. But what's interesting is that there's no record of Cain and Abel praying either. And they saw God face to face too. Scripture says they would bring their tithes and offerings right before God. So there's no record of Cain and Abel praying.
But then sin kept having its way. Cain killed Abel.
And there's this really, really emotional text, sorrowful text from Eve that said, because Cain killed my son Abel, God gave me another son named Seth. And he will be the delight of my life. Or something like that. And so you think Seth might start praying, but he didn't. Seth had a son named Enosh. And the scripture doesn't say much about Enosh, but it says that he lived his life. And then he died. And then it said, in that day, people started calling on the name of the Lord. And the name, calling, and that is the same Hebrew word for prayer. It doesn't tell us why. But for some reason, in Enosh's day, which was like, but it's like 900 something years, I think, after the garden, the fall, people started calling on the name of the Lord. The first recorded prayer was from Abraham about Isaac.
My point being is, God's original intent is that we wouldn't pray at all, we would just see in the face of God.
But because sin marred and separated us from God, He made a way for us to still talk with Him.
Fast forward to Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the better Adam.
He came into our world and into our lives, and he brought that separation. He demolished it and brought us back close to God. Not only
Adam and Eve need to see him face to face, but we have him living in.
So I'm learning that prayer is not me looking up, but looking in. He's living in us. I don't know what that means. We're gonna, I gotta study some more. But I realize that I'm not talking to a far off God. I'm talking to a God who lives in me via the Holy Spirit, the mind of God. How important is prayer? We don't even know. I don't even know. Jesus prayed. One of the things I'm going to send you home with, I want you to read Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Do some homework for the next time y'all come, which is the disciples asking Jesus how to pray. We have great texts, great scriptures that teach us how to pray. Again, this is something that I didn't know necessarily I would have to learn how to pray.
But that's a great idea. Thank God for the disciples
who ask all the questions that we want to ask. Teach us how to pray. I think it's interesting. They saw him raise people from the dead. They saw him heal sick people. They saw him do miracles, take 3 loaves of bread and feed 5,000. They didn't ask him how to do any of that, did they? They asked him how to pray. Do you ask him how to pray? Let's ask him how to pray and really learn. Well, that is answered for us in Matthew. And you know the Lord's Prayer. I love it. One thing I saw and I'm going to be done.
I thought it was really cool. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Y'all say it with me. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day.
Those who trust God to do it.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. That's how you're supposed to pray. We're going to break that down in the next couple of weeks. The one thing I saw, I thought it was really interesting, is when the disciples come and they ask Jesus how to pray, he said what you just said. And he starts off with Father, which I love. It's relational. It's not a distant God. It is Father, our Father. And he goes on and says what you just said. Well, fast forward a few days, just a few days. He's in Gethsemane. He's about to be crucified. This is the night before the crucifixion.
And he is, by his own admission, overwhelmed to the point of death. Jesus said that to his disciples. He said, I am overwhelmed to the point of death.
I don't know. Has anybody in here ever been overwhelmed to the point of death? And we knew that he was serious because the scripture says he sweat blood as he prayed. And he went off and prayed. He brought his disciples with him. He left them there. He said, keep watch because they're coming. I'm going to go here and pray. And he went and prayed, and he came back, and he found what? They were sleeping. And it hurt him, like it would hurt you. And he said, could you not tarry with me for 1 hour? Could you not stay awake for 1 hour? And he told him to go back and pray. When he went back and prayed, he said, Father, Father, if it is possible for this cup to pass from me, let it pass. But not my will be done, but yours be done. And it just nailed me that he not only taught the prayer to his disciples, but he walked it out right in front of them in the most difficult time of his life. He wasn't just teaching that for a, you know, do as I say but not as I do kind of thing. He walked it out. That's the exact prayer almost that he used the night that he was going to be
taking him to be crucified.
It was that serious to him, and Christ understood the importance of prayer. God also knew everything that Jesus was going to pray, and yet he still prayed and still asked his Father for things. I think, in order for us
to go deeper into our relationship with God, we have to learn how to pray. And we have to know also that people are praying for us. And we have to know also that Jesus Christ is still praying for you individually.
The scripture says that Jesus is interceding for us every day. I don't know what that looks like,
but the scripture says that both Jesus and the Holy Spirit are interceding and praying for you. For you.
Every day. That should give you comfort. That should give you peace. That should give you rest. When you feel alone and you feel like nobody is there for you, you need to know that He is praying.
And that's real. Amen. We're going to get more into prayer. I'm excited about it. And then we'll go on to loving people.
And then I'm going to preach another sermon about being filled in the Holy Spirit, which is the main thing. I'm excited. Well, let's have these baptisms. Y'all ready? All right.